The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 27th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural news, too. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour on Mondays, we always check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat at $6.81 was off a penny and three quarters. December futures were down 3 3/4. These are in Kansas City, of course, at $6.97 1/4. From Chicago, September wheat at $7.22 1/4, down 3.5. December's at $7.38, we're down 4 cents. And the corn futures finished like this for the day. The nearby September's at 335 3/4, were down 5 3/4. Their top at 37, the bottom at 31.5. December futures at 353, settlement price down 5 3/4, a top of 54 1/4, a low at 48.5. And the March contract down 5 cents at 369 1/4. December next year down 2 at 396.5. From the soy complex, nearby September beans 856.5, 7.5 cents higher. They traded from 857 to 839. November's had a top of 73.5 and a bottom at 854.5. Your November contract settlement price for the soybeans up 7 3/4 at $8.72 3/4 cents. January futures 888 1/4 were up 8 for the day, and the Novembers of next year were at 888, and they were up 9 1/2 for the day. Bean meal futures at 235.90 were up 220 in the nearby SEPs, and the bean oil at 36.18 for the same contract, up 26. At the Mercantile Exchange, August live cattle, 94.20, down 17.5 cents. October futures were 7.5 cents lower at 97.75. August feeder cattle at 117.77.5. They were 20 cents higher. September futures there 52.5 higher at 118.57.5. Lean hogs finished the Octobers at 67.70. They were down $2.95 on the afternoon. Nearby October crude oil futures, $72.03 a barrel at this hour, up 94 cents. November's at 71.42, or 73 higher. The CRB index at 305.53 is down 11, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,368 is down just about 10 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Afternoon, Todd.
Well, it was a pretty nice weekend across the board in our area. That probably means that the growing crop is doing pretty well here, but there are other places around the Midwest that were a little too wet, and that may have shown up in the marketplace at one point today.
Yeah, when you look at the northern regions, there's some areas, quite a few areas, 12 to 14 inches of rain here over the last 2 weeks or so, and that's really playing havoc in low-lying areas especially. A lot of reports of bean fields completely underwater, and that's definitely going to do some damage. Then opposite scenario, as you continue to go south, southeast from here, they continue to miss out on some rains, and there's concerns about too dry conditions for beans in those areas. We'll see the breakdown of the good to excellent categories this afternoon here. Trade's expecting a 2 to 3 to maybe 4% drop out of the good to excellent category. Probably what's more interesting is we look at the state-by-state breakdowns and see, you know, what type of conditions are observed in those areas. But since last week, coming in this week. I think the trade's still a little bit edge or a little concerned out about bean production in general, which gave the market some confidence to sort of shake off the overnight lower trade and closing were from 7 to 7.75 cents higher across the board.
When you look at the harvest month, a nice little outside up day for the day.
Yeah, looking at the overall bigger picture there, you know, we'll probably continue to see some mixed readings overall as we sort of get into harvest activity here around the corner. That's probably going to limit the upside here over time. But yet, too, when you look at the big picture in here, as we keep moving clockwise in through here, I think the commercial side's very interested in gaining some ownership on breaks, too.
From the corn pit, it was a down day rather than up day as it was in the soybeans. Finished right on its 50-day moving average in the December harvest month for the corn. What was the primary move in the corn today?
Well, I think that when you look at what's taking place here, with producers being heavily sold or forward contracted in the cash market here, there's no urgency to really buy anything here over the near term. I think it's more of a logistics problem or a challenge here as we go in this fall to get this crop moved, and so there's no urgency to really step up and buy it. Plus, two, when you look at the production prospects, pro farmers showing a little higher corn yields. So we know we've got the crop out, another confirmation there. We'll have more of a handle here as we start to see other pre-estimates come out, too. You know, you couple that, we'll probably see the corn market sort of zig and zag here for a little bit as it sort of develops a trading range. But once again, we feel that price corrections here are going to be bought. Even though there's plenty of crop out there, there's still that anxiety to get some corn bought as we go into falling through here. So corn's probably going to struggle here for a while. Early yield reports are better than expected. What was expected? That's the big question. But there's reports of, you know, 170 to 200 bushel corn in some area, and then there's some disappointing stuff, you know, 80 to 100 bushel corn. So the market's going to hear these reports and probably trade accordingly here to what report comes out what day.
And as you take a look at the chart, the corn December contract, and we talk about these in both the pit and the composite, but I think this shows up for December in both. It does, in fact. There's a gap lower today in both the composite and the pit trade. Is that bad news for an upside potential?
Well, the challenge is to go back and fill the chart gap. If we can't go back and fill that chart gap, you can sort of use that in various different ways, and that's a concern because you change the sentiment in a hurry and everybody leaned one way. So if you can't see a correction, then they'll probably use that gap area as resistance here over the near term. But there's more gaps than just the day-only chart. And like you mentioned, when you incorporate the night trade in there, it covers most of the gaps. But, yeah, that's going to be a technical thing to watch when you look at low we made over a week and a half ago and the high we made last week. That was a huge move. So the market's vulnerable to sort of back and fill on the big picture.
When you talk to your clients, what are they telling you about how soon harvest will begin?
It varies greatly. We've got customers all over the Midwest, and we've got clientele actually going through the harvest progress right now, but a lot of them are looking at after the Labor Day weekend here, getting a start on lease and rows.
And then just finally, we're looking forward to having you over at the Farm Progress Show on what, Wednesday of this week, I guess.
Wednesday, yes. We're going to send Pete over tomorrow. He's going to get down there and check it all out, and I'll be there Wednesday. But it's always enjoyable to be able to go to those events and meet a lot of people that listen to your program there, Todd.
Well, Kurt, we appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each And every Monday afternoon, speaking to the Farm Progress Show, we've been at work on the show site today and, well, earlier last week. I was there this morning doing some heavy lifting and working, and then got spelled by our own Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey. He is there now, and if all works well, he should sound very, very good, almost
just
like he's in the studio.
Like in the studio.
Oh, hi, Dave. Good to hear you.
Glad. Excellent. Just excellent. Out at the Farm Progress Show, of course, the University of Illinois tent, Todd, located on West Progress Avenue and 3rd Street. You want to keep those streets in mind because just down the block is the food court and the air-conditioned restrooms.
That sounds like there's still some work happening there. Things shaping up on the site?
Oh, it is one gorgeous site, Todd. This is my 4th or 5th show now in my official capacity of agricultural director at the University of Illinois, and this is by far the most beautiful site that we've put together. The University of Illinois has done a magnificent job with a beautiful freestanding tent. The stage is coming together nicely, first rate. Of course, there'll be shows all day on the stage. Todd, you know well that. You can probably talk about those in a minute. And our own set is just a beautiful set, Todd, and it'll be a pleasure to broadcast from as well as talk to people who drop by.
Well, we sure do hope people drop by. And there are a couple of things we want to go through that WILL is up to. Of course, we want everybody to come to the University of Illinois tent at 9 o'clock. WILL will be up on the stage and we'll be hosting our ag panels on the first day. Wayne Nelson, as you already know, and Pete Manhart and Mike Zuzolo will be there the second day, which is Wednesday. Bill Mayer and Paul Cooley and Kirk Kimmel. And then on our final day, Ellen Dearden, Jackie Vakes, and Dan Zwicker will be with us. And those folks will be with you in the AgriGold tent at 11 o'clock and at 3 o'clock each of those 3 days as well, won't they?
Well, for the first 2 days, yes, for 11 and 3
o'clock.
Oh, that's
correct.
But then on the third day, on Thursday, just an 11 o'clock show in the AgriGold tent. The nice thing about that is if you're on this side of the compound on the West Progress Street, AgriGold is just down the block. It's 4 or 5 blocks down. It's on West Progress and 8th Street. So just a little skip and a hop down there.
One final question. I almost hesitate to ask this to you, Dave, but do you need me to come back out to the show site to finish things up, or is prep work pretty much done there?
Prep work is in the can, Todd.
All right. Well, then I will be out there at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks much, Dave. We appreciate it.
We'll see you then.
Okay, Dave Dickey on the show site there at the Farm Progress Show. We have an ISDN line. That's why he sounds like he's right here in the studio with us. And we'll be broadcasting to you, I believe, the pre-opening and the opening market reports along with the closing market report from the show site. Farm Progress Show is this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in Decatur. We sure hope that you drop by and see us out there.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In today's agricultural news, a coalition of 17 U.S. senators has co-signed a letter to the acting director of the Office of Management and Budget, asking that OMB take a hard look at the onerous regulations on propane written by the Department of Homeland Security. They believe the regulations would put an undue burden on rural America. OMB not only oversees the federal budget, but it also oversees all administrative rules issued by the federal agencies. We'll stay in Washington for the moment. Congress will soon return to Washington, D.C., and the Senate will get set to work on the 2007 Farm Bill. At this point, American Farm Bureau Executive Director for Public Policy Mark Maslin says there's still no clear-cut direction as to where the Senate's version of the bill might go. According to Maslin, farm bills are always changing, but he says this one may provide a glimpse of where policy will go in the future, as there are more groups trying to claim their piece of the farm bill pie. He says that puts some pressure on the commodity title of the farm bill.
Given the cycle that agriculture is in right now, with prices relatively good, if you project out these prices, there's less money to write this farm bill with than in the past. And so that puts an extra bit of pressure on the farm bill writers in the House and the Senate. So they're looking for ways to save money, to keep the baseline intact, or to more efficiently use that money. and the revenue assurance program we have proposed, and others, such as the corn growers and so forth, those concepts have been given a lot more attention in this Farm Bill writing than perhaps in the past.
To some extent, Maslin says the World Trade Organization is playing a part in the Farm Bill debate. Maslin says the ag committees just do not appear set to prejudge what other countries might want to do or what a WTO panel might find in response to those actions. The first industrial-sized cellulosic ethanol plant to be built in the U.S. will be constructed in Hoganton in southwest Kansas. The $400 million bioenergy ethanol production plant will include a 30-million-gallon cellulosic ethanol plant and an 85-million-gallon traditional ethanol plant. And finally today, this story on insurance and seed companies. Growers expect, of course, their seed company to sell good seed and provide good service and even good advice. But Beck's Hybrids, based in Atlanta, Indiana, is the first seed company in the nation to offer health insurance to its better customers. Aaron Mercer with Patriot Insurance notes farm families often struggle to obtain affordable health coverage. In fact, he says many companies won't even consider insuring farm families. He says the fact farming is a dangerous occupation and that farmers as a group are older makes them a poor insurance risk. But Mercer says Patriot has set up a program to offer members of the Beck's President Club a group health insurance program.
We found a company that can give us good rates as well as adequate coverage, and we've had a lot of really good response from what they are covered under currently compared to what we're presenting, as well as the rates being, you know, a lot better than what they're seen out in the marketplace by themselves.
Mercer says many of those who have signed up for the program had coverage, but at much higher rates. He adds this is only the beginning of a program that may be soon expanded to cover short-term and long-term disability insurance, along with dental and vision care. To qualify for the President's Club, a producer must plant 100% of their farm to Beck's seeds. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, up next, research shows that when soy consumption goes up, weight goes down. As you'll hear, a U of I study may help scientists understand exactly how that weight loss happens.
The University of Illinois scientist wanted to compare the effects of soy protein hydrosylates and soy peptides with those of leptin. Leptin's a hormone that signals the brain when we're full. The question was whether or not soy might have a similar effect, and it did, but in a different way, says researcher Elvira DeMaia. She says the study showed soy did help with weight loss, but not because, as is the case with leptin, the subjects, rats, felt full and stopped eating. Instead, the soy reduced body weight by boosting metabolism and not by reducing food intake.
So even though they were not exercising more than the normal animals, than the treated controls, but they did lose weight.
To compare soy peptides with leptin, DeMaia's graduate student Arissa Vaughn, with the help of Associate Professor Lee Beverly, worked with lab rats. The control group was treated with leptin, and when the scientists could see their model was working, they used two formulations of hydrolyzed soy protein and soy peptides. The Illinois researchers monitored the effects of each on food intake and weight loss. The experiment not only showed that soy peptides could interact with receptors in the brain, it also demonstrated that eating less is not always the reason for weight loss. Losing weight is a cascade of many steps, beginning with the production of certain hormones and continuing with their action in the brain. Some people are resistant to these hormones, just as other people are insulin resistant. These people never receive the message from the brain that tells them they're full, says DeMaia. She plans to continue investigating the effects of soy proteins on weight loss. She believes soy contains anorectic peptides that signal the full feeling, as well as peptides that boost the metabolism. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
I'd better take time right now to thank a whole crew of folks who've been helping put together that Farm Progress Show site. I'll miss some of them, I know, but here are the primaries. Dave Dickey, of course, along with Rick Bigler and Lisa Strassheim, who are engineers here at the University of Illinois. My help from the College of ACES, Steve Parker and Colin Harton. They work with me pretty closely to produce video production for the College of ACES and to put together the stage show that will be happening on the U of I Farm Progress Show site tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. Dawn Nordby, who is a weed scientist at the University of Illinois, was in today. She did a lot of heavy lifting for us, putting the stage up. Thanks much to her in particular. And then, of course, Jeremy Robinette, who put the whole thing together. And he, I wanted him to come on the air with me this afternoon. He's on the show site now. But he wasn't willing. He doesn't like to talk on the radio, he says. But Jeremy, thanks much for doing all the work. Jeremy is responsible for the show site. If you get the opportunity, look him up while you're at the Farm Progress Show in the U of I tent and say thanks. He did a great deal of work, and we sure do appreciate all the work that he's done. Speaking of doing a great deal of work, the folks out at the Andersons are working every day to move grain around. Today's probably no different. Greg Johnson is with us to talk about the cash grain market. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Todd.
Are you going to make it over to the Farm Progress Show site, do you think?
I'm hoping that we get a little bit of a slowdown here in the markets, and we'll be able to sneak away at least one day. Yeah, we're planning on sending somebody over.
And Dave said it was beautiful. He was talking about the tent, but you know the show site. They've got brand new paved roads over most of that show site, and that is probably the nicest show site. I think Dave said he'd been going to four or five of these. I've been going, since I was a little kid, so I can't tell you how many I've been to, but a lot. And there's no better site than Decatur, I don't think, that I've been to. It's just a gorgeous site and should be easy to get around, I hope.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have it located so close. I mean, when it's, you know, moves around and you have to travel one state, even that's not too bad, but to have it just 45 miles away, that's pretty nice.
Oh, it's the cat's meow. Hey, tell me about what's been happening in the cash grain market, please.
Well, we've seen basis levels really explode up until this past week. A month ago, corn was 43 over down at the Gulf. A week ago, it was 65 over. That's a 22-cent improvement. This week, it's about 55 over. So we've lost about 10 cents of the 22 that we gained. Bean basis was 15 under a month ago. A week ago, we were 20 over. There's a 35-cent improvement, and today it's 19. So we basically have held fast on the beans, as there's very few beans moving at this point. And wheat basis is so thin that the bid offer is about 20, 25 cents apart. So you can call your own market there on wheat. But basis levels are a little on the weakish side this week. I think the futures market has been working higher to try to keep acres into production for next year. We're already starting to talk about that. But yet the facts on the ground, we still have to get through this year's crop. Big crop, there'll be lots of piles on the ground. So basis levels and spreads may stay wide until we get after harvest, and then we'll start focusing on getting those acres bought for next year. So futures prices need to go higher, but that doesn't necessarily mean the basis needs to get a whole lot better right away.
Have guys in this area been asking much about winter wheat and the possibility of putting that in the ground, and then maybe you could take up the difference between the nearby and the deferreds too?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we have a short crop. We had three of the four top countries, United States, Australia, the European Community, and even Russia to some extent had a poor wheat crop, and that's very unusual to have that many large producers all have a poor crop in the same year. And so obviously we've seen the highest price ever on old crop wheat. We made a new contract high last week ever on that December contract, and that's a reflection of the tight situation. On the other hand, wheat is the one commodity that is planted somewhere in the world every month of the year. So farmers not only in the United States are looking at that wheat price, but in other countries as well. And there's no doubt that by next July we'll have a lot more wheat available, you know, weather permitting. So that's why we have that big spread between old crop and new crop. It reflects a tightness now, but the traders think a month from now we will be back to more of a normal situation.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn, 325. New crop, 319. Cash beans, 808. New crop, 813. Cash wheat, 658. New crop, 550.
Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoons. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald might be a long shot to replace outgoing Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. The Illinois Democrat praised Fitzgerald for being a career prosecutor who has proven time and again that he looks at the law and not politics. Fitzgerald's Chicago office has prosecuted several high-profile cases, including former Illinois Governor George Ryan. Durbin, a frequent critic of Gonzalez, says he's glad he's leaving his post next month. But he wonders about the timing, saying he thought Gonzalez and President Bush had decided that Gonzalez would remain on the job until Bush's term ends. The Mohammed Seymour School Board voted unanimously this morning to ratify a 3-year contract with teachers and support staff. The contract, already approved by union members, calls for 5% annual raises for teachers and 6% raises for support staff. School Board President Ned Hahn says the contract also includes a new retirement package that rewards teachers who further their education. Illinois, or rather Indiana, ranks 9th in the nation, and Illinois ranks 25th in a new study on obesity. The rankings were compiled by the Trust for America's Health. Indiana is listed with nearly 27% of its adult population considered to be obese, while the figure for Illinois is 24.4%. The rankings place Mississippi at the top of the list, with 30.6% of the population there listed as obese. An 80-year-old Johnson County, Indiana farmer died when he apparently fell into a grain bin filled with corn. Fire officials say Richard Henderson fell while working on the bin with his son. The Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago says manufacturing activity in 5 Midwestern states was up slightly in July, rising 0.6% from June. According to figures released today, the July index climbed to 106.0. The index covers Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Josh Darr joins us high in the Chicago skyline with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy. Thanks much, Josh, for taking a look at the agricultural weather forecast with us today. We appreciate it.
No problem, Todd. Happy afternoon to you, too.
Is it just as gorgeous a day in Chicago as it is here in Champaign County today?
Hey, a little bit of clouds in the storm system moved through the rain-soaked areas of Wisconsin earlier today, but we should be seeing pretty sunny skies tomorrow.
And can you see Wisconsin from where you are at the moment?
Not quite. On a clear day, maybe, but not today.
Not today. So will you think you'll be able to see it sometime the rest of the week then?
Yeah, I think we have improved visibility tomorrow here, and really a weak frontal system is going through the northern belt midweek here. But other than that, behind that, a big area of high pressure moves in, and finally the rain-soaked areas of northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, Wisconsin catch a break here, which is, you know, given the impressive rainfall totals in that part of the corn and bean belt over the past month, they certainly need it to start drying out a little bit.
And then, babe, better give us a Farm Progress Show site for Decatur, Illinois, forecast for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week.
Sure. Decatur, cloudy, moving into Wednesday afternoon as a front moves through the area, a chance of thunderstorms with that frontal passage. But after that, weather improves and sunny into Thursday.
Okay, so sunny tomorrow, a little cloudy, maybe a sprinkle or two, possibly not.
Yeah,
on Wednesday.
A pop-up thunderstorm potential on Wednesday afternoon as that front slips through the area, yeah. And then after that, you're looking great on Thursday.
All right, clean and green the rest of the way through. So it should be a Farm Progress Show to be out to then. In that case, I would think.
I would think so.
What are we looking at around the rest of the globe?
Rest of the globe, the areas that are really under high scrutiny right now continue to be the southern hemisphere with the Argentina wheat belt. Very limited rainfall over the weekend, and that was really the only chance of rainfall in that region for the next 10 days, and they are in a bad need of rain. And Buenos Aires, the major wheat-producing belt, and the whole wheat complex continues to be an area of note. And Western Australia also badly needs rain for their winter wheat crop. So the wheat is very sensitive right now, obviously, due to weather and other issues as well. China looks good conditions there, good harvest conditions here in Europe later this week as the trough of low pressure moves off to the east, and all in all, the world markets otherwise look okay from a weather perspective.
Josh, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. That is today's report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report. I believe it should come to you live from the Farm Progress Show site. And don't forget to come out and visit us. We'll be in the University of Illinois tent tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday at the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur. We sure hope to see you there.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.